Let's pray. Father, we open your word always with anticipation and excitement because it's from you. It's not something we made up or just the thought of the day or the philosophy of the world, but straight from you as you inspired men and women to write part of your word and your word for us. May we listen to it, apply it, appreciate it, and obey it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it is Mother's Day. Everyone knows that. And I know, and I say this every year probably, it's difficult to come up with a Mother's Day sermon. They taught me in college you come up with what you want to say and then come up with some nice little poems and get everybody's heartstrings pulled. But that's not what we're going to do today. We're going to look at the Word of God. And I know it is a tough day for some of you, but we don't want to ignore it either. We want to give honor to those who are mothers and godly women. But it is a tough day for many of you. And let's just acknowledge that at the beginning. For many of you, your mother is gone. For many of you, you have guilt about your mother, even if she's not gone yet. Or you have guilt about your motherhood. And so this is one of those days that I better stick to my notes. Because I sure don't want to offend you or make you feel guilty or bad, but I want us to give honor to godly women. Now, isn't it true that we all want a good woman? Spoken by a bachelor in the crowd. Yes. Everybody's looking for, everybody wants a good woman. Either you want a good woman, or you're maybe looking, some of you are looking for a good woman. But if you're a woman, you want to be a good woman, don't you? If you have daughters, you want your daughters to grow up to be good women. You want your sons to find one, correct? No one ever says, I want my son to find a really bad woman. You want a good woman. And so, to all good women in our midst, in the house today, to everyone, you say, well, this is Mother's Day, I can check out, it doesn't apply to me. Here's what I want to say to women, be a good woman. Here's what I say to our young girls, grow up to be a godly woman. To our guys, if you're looking, find one. And don't give up until you find one. If you've already got a woman, help her be a good woman. Help her be the kind of woman that God wants her to be. And help the other women in our church to be the kind of women that God would want them to be. So we come to this passage, and it's probably a passage that is most often preached on Mother's Day, Proverbs 31. And I look back through all my Mother's Day sermons for 21, 22 years. And we did look at this a long time ago. And I thought it would be appropriate for us to revisit Proverbs. The word proverb means a comparison. If you read through the book of Proverbs, as we do every Lord's Day for a couple of years now, the Proverbs of the morning, we just jumped ahead this week for this passage. It means a comparison. It means this versus this. Wise versus foolish. Lazy versus hardworking. We tend to think of a proverb as a wise saying, but the Hebrew word means a comparison. Picture words that we can grasp. And chapter 31. Both poems in chapter 31, which Proverbs 31 is a word picture of a good guy and a good gal. A good man and a good woman. And both of them are the teachings of a godly woman. You say, where did you get that? Well, look at verse 1 of chapter 31. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle, who taught him? His mother taught him. Now, the first oracle, our poem, our prayer, is to her son. How to be a godly man. We're interested in that, but we'll save that for Father's Day. We won't pick on the guys today. The second is to her son as well. How to find a good woman. As if a prayer of every godly woman. If you are a godly woman, don't you want to be one? A better one? Wait, that's sort of a question. Any women here today, do you want to be a godly woman? Anybody have sons? What kind do you want your son to find? A godly woman. Find a good woman. In premarital counseling, we always discuss different issues that perhaps and probably will come up in your marriage. And the main issue is communication. We really struggle how to talk to one another, don't we? Men, do you have that down? Again, only the bachelor raises his hand. We are not good at communicating on the same level. We have three major issues in marriage, and it's sex, in-laws, and money. And the real problem is that we don't communicate about those issues. And when it comes to in-laws, guess which person is the most difficult issue in a marriage? Which mother-in-law? It's usually the mother of the groom who causes the biggest issues in a marriage. And I tell couples, watch out for that lady. Because you see, a mother who has a son, no one's ever good enough for her baby. No one cleans like mama did. No one cooks like mama did. No one cleans the house like mama did. No one's good enough. So to you who have sons, listen to the word of God. Help your son find a good woman. To those of you who are women, listen to God's word, how to become what God wants you to be. To those of you that have one, thank her for being what God has created her to be. So that covers everybody. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Are there any mothers in the house today? Anyone help a lady become a mother? What are you looking at me like? Yeah. Your mother's a mother because she had you. You got that? All right. Well, verse 10 through 31. Who can find a wife of noble character? Who can find? She is worth more than rubies. The word means they're an excellent woman, a good wife of noble character. Is that spiritual or practical? Yes, both. A woman of moral virtue. Now, for those that want to be a godly woman, those that want one for their son, those that want their daughters to grow into be one, if you want to have one as a spouse, or if you have a spouse, how you can help her become what God wants her to be. This is written to you. So I think that covers us all, doesn't it? The scene of Proverbs 31 is a wealthy culture. The king. It's the culture of the Near East. It is almost 3,000 years ago, 900 B.C. You say, well, what does that have to do with me? That's 3,000 years ago. Times change, correct? Culture changes. But the principles still apply to us as godly people. They are timeless. Here in Proverbs 31 is what to look for in a good woman. It's a proverb. It's a comparison. It's a picture word. So what do you look for in a good woman? I found a song that I will not sing to you. At this time, you usually applaud. It's an old song. It was written 1911. Wow. When some of us were in high school. It became a barbershop standard and is still sung today. When I was a boy, my mother often said to me, "Get married, boy, and see how happy you will be." Why are you laughing? "I have looked all over, but no girlie can I find who seems to be just like the little girl I have in mind. I will have to look around until the right one I have found. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. She was a pearl and the only girl that dad ever had. A good old-fashioned girl with heart so true, one who loves nobody else but you. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Dad. By the old mill stream, there sit a couple old and gray. Though years have rolled away, their hearts are young today. Mother dear looks up at Dad with love light in her eye. He steals a kiss, a fond embrace, while evening breezes sigh. They're as happy as can be, so that's the kind of love for me. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old Dad. Oh, doesn't that just get you right here? They say that you girls often marry, pick a man that is just like your dad. And most of you are going, nah, I don't think so. But the guys tend to pick a woman to marry like their mom. I'll let you do whatever you want with that data, okay? I don't know if that's true, but that's what they say. I want a girl just like the girl. Now, our text is set as a prayer, really, from mom for her son of how to find a woman, how to be a godly woman. And it's arranged as a poem. It's 22 verses, 10 through 31. And each of the verses begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, like A, B, C, all the way through the 22 letters. And again, how does this apply to us? I mean, most of us are not wealthy, are we? That's a question. Feel free to answer. Most of us do not live in the king's palace. No. Most women I know do not weave their own cloth. No. Many women today have a career. Many women don't. We sure don't live like they lived in 900 B.C. But remember, the principles are the same. Now, I have a picture here of a woman. Go back one. Is this a good woman? What does a good woman look like? Some of you are old enough to remember Ozzie and Harriet. Anybody that old? You've seen it on the reruns. Or Leave It to Beaver. And lo and behold, I watched those shows as a kid. And when Beaver came home and Wally came home, there was Mrs. Cleaver cleaning house with pearls, high heels, stockings, hair done perfectly. And she'd been cleaning and ironing and cooking all day, and she looked like that. You know, how many of you go home and that's the way your wife looks? So is that a good picture of a good woman? Times change. How about the next picture? What does a good woman look like? Well, let's look at what God says. How about that? Instead of the culture of the day, let's look. And so we're going to look at several things from Proverbs. Next slide, please. We're going to look at a good woman, her marriage, her behavior, her character, and her reward. So follow along with me. First of all, her marriage. Again, she asked the question, a good woman? Who can find one? Some of you probably thought that, asked that question. Who can find one? I mean, there are good women out there. Any here today? One. Two, it would be better if someone else pointed at you than you point at yourself. It's like, I am the most humble person I know. They are out there, but they're hard to find. They do exist. So look carefully. In chapter 12, let's look at a couple other Proverbs. Chapter 12 of Proverbs, verse 4. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown. But a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Whoa. How about chapter 18, verse 22? He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Now go back to our text in verse 11. Her husband has how much confidence in her? What does it say? Full confidence. There's the idea of trust. In other words, if you have a good woman, you trust her in everything. You don't have to keep your valuables locked up at home. Oh, better hide the credit card. That woman might get a hold of it. Better hide my wallet. No, you have complete trust. There's a loyalty from her to her husband because she has a loyalty to God. None of this, don't tell Dad. No secrets. He has full confidence. Loyalty to God, loyalty to her husband. He has full confidence in her. If you keep secrets from your husband, he will find out. And what happens to his full confidence? Out the window. Now there are, I know this may be hard for you to imagine, but there are problems in churches. Go, oh, no, really? And do you know that, and this is not to pick on women today, but I'm just going to say it. Most problems in churches are the result of women acting in ways that their husbands don't know anything about. Or their husbands have not asked them to act that way. I remember years ago, I was talking to a man and he was all upset about how his wife was treated in the church. And I said, well, do you know that your wife did this? He had no clue. He went home and shot her. But a godly woman, her marriage, she has full, her husband can have full confidence in her. A good woman gives her husband no reason not to trust her. In what? In anything. Notice in verse 23, he says, her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. That's a cultural thing, but that has to do with respect in the community, respect in the church, respect of other people. We were listening to, my wife and I were listening to a Christian couple on the radio recently about how to have a godly marriage. And this couple was sort of funny. I'm being serious today. But they talked about what husbands and wives want in a marriage. Do you know what wives want the most from their husband? What? Money? Bachelors, be quiet. They want you to listen to them. And we are not good at that, are we? And they were telling this story of when their family, they had four little kids at home, toddlers at home, and the husband came home from work one day, and she was very distraught. She had her head in her hands. She was crying at the kitchen table. He says, honey, what's wrong? And she's just explaining her day. What did she want from him? Just listen to me. He has this great idea. He goes upstairs. He comes down in a few minutes with a piece of paper. And she's thinking, he listened to me. He's concerned about me. He wrote me a love note and to encourage me. And she said, What do you have there, honey? And he says, I made you a list. Number one, if you would get more organized, you wouldn't feel so discouraged. Don't try that. I'm a preacher. When my wife's upset, I tend to want to give her a sermon. Well, here's four scriptures to look at and straighten up, woman, and then you'll be fine. That's not what she wants. But you know what men want the most, ladies, from their husband? Don't say sex. I'm speaking as a man. What we want more than anything is your respect. Respect. A godly woman, her husband is respected because of the way you treat him, because of the way you talk about him, the way you talk about him to others. It said, behind every good man is what? A good woman. A godly woman, a good woman, brings good to her husband. Respect to her husband. You know, at the city gates in the community, when we interview someone for being a new elder at the church, we also interview the wives. Why? We know the answer to that. It's important. You know how your kids look at men, their potential husband, how they look at their dad begins at home. Respect. You do nothing if you're a godly woman to harm his reputation. And her behavior, go on to verse 13. She selects wool and flax and works with her hands, and her arms are strong, and she's like merchant ships, and she's still up at dark and all of that. Most women don't do that, do you? But remember, those are examples. What's the principle? She provides for her family. She brings comfort to her family. She takes care of clothing and serves her family. She provides for them. She's resourceful. She's frugal. She spends the family's money wisely because her husband can trust her. She spends the money wisely. She's strong. She's not lazy. It is often said that a mother's work is never done. And that's true. Now, not many of you, and if you do, just be quiet. And don't want to make the other mothers feel bad. But I would guess that most of you do not spindle and make all your own cloth so you can make your own clothes. However, how does that apply to today? Are you wise in how you spend the resources? Do you provide a home for your family that's good to come home to? Maybe you could apply it and say she uses a lot of coupons. Now look at verse 20 through 24. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes clothing for her bed and is clothed in fine linen and purple. A husband is respected at the city gates. You notice she's compassionate for the needy. How does this good woman treat other people? Not only is she concerned for her house, but for others. No selfishness. She's concerned for the needy. She has a heart for others. And there's no fear when snow comes. Why? Because she's providing the warmth of home. And notice in verse 22, she is clothed in fine linen and in scarlet. She takes care of herself. She works hard. That's the idea of her behavior. And God blesses her work. Now, her husband is respected in the city gates, in the community. Therefore, she works hard to do that, and she works hard for her family. You know, there's this big discussion, it's been around for a long years, career or no career for women. And I'm not going to tell you. You know, some women have careers. Some women are stay at home. That's your choice. That's your family's choice. But whatever you choose, your priority is to your husband and to your family. And I've noticed this about career women. They tend to look down at those women who don't have a career and say, "What does that lady do all day? I bet she just eats bonbons and watches soap operas." Well, that's really not your business. But I've noticed also women who stay at home who don't have a career tend to look down at women who do. Well, she's just out doing everything else and money's most important to them. That's not your business to make that judgment. But it is your business to judge, according to Scripture, what are your priorities. We've made decisions for our family that are probably different from your family in raising kids and career or non-career. I can tell you this. You see me a lot. You say, "That guy's up front week after week after week, and we go to a Bible study, and there he is, and we go to prayer, and there he is, and on it." You know, you have no clue what I really do. I fake it when I get up in front of you, or how long it takes to do what I do. But you at least see me a lot up front. But I can tell you this, as a tribute to my wife, I could not do for you what I'm able to do by the grace of God without her. And husbands, you ought to look at all at your wife, not all your wives, your only wife. Look at all your wives you've got. You know, she is a good thing from God to supplement what you do for God. Not supplement, but to complement what you do for God. Good woman does all she can to make her husband look good. You say, well, that's not fair. When are you going to talk to men? Well, you got to come back Father's Day. But a good woman does all she can to make her husband look good, respected. We say that an elder of the church, a leader of the church, must be above reproach. And that's true. But where does that begin? At home. And again, how your daughters and your sons think of men and treat their husbands and their sons and on down the line begins with how you treat your husband. TV does a good job of destroying that, doesn't it? How are most dads portrayed on television today? Idiots. Well, let's go on. Her character, verse 25. She makes linen. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at days to come. She speaks with wisdom. Ah, catch that. And faithful instruction is where? On her tongue. You know, outward beauty is nice, isn't it? Of course it is. And nobody wants an ugly woman. Oh, well, let's just say it. Come on. How many of you, when you were looking for a woman, let's just go with married guys right now. So, James, you can't talk. When you went to find a good woman, did you say, I'm looking for the ugliest woman I can find? But beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What's beauty to you may not be beauty to me. Outward beauty is nice. But inward beauty of dignity, beauty of the heart, beauty that is improving, beauty that is not fleeting. Look at verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. This woman, as it says, can laugh at days to come. Why? Because she can trust God. And so when the unexpected comes, when disaster hits, whatever happens, she can laugh at that because she knows God is in charge. Now, we will all get older. I'm just going to let that sink in. I said, you know, you've known me for 21, 22 years, some of you. I've changed a lot. I've known Dwight for 46, 47 years. Man, he has changed a lot. We're going to get older. We get together, we hadn't seen each other in 25 years, and we're talking about hearing aids and hip replacements. Whoa. Sound like old guys. My mother tells me all the time, I don't like it here because these people are old people. But we're all going to get old. We're all going to get sick. I don't know if we'll all get poor, but is God still in control? Yeah. She can laugh at days to come, and it shows up in how she speaks. Notice, wisdom is on her tongue. Godly instruction. She teaches her kids, her family, faithful instruction from where? Not Dr. Seuss, but from the Word of God. Son, I could not tell you how many times my mother said to me, but what does God's Word say? That's a godly woman. How she speaks from the Word. And we know men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders in the family. But women, you have them from prenatal. What a privilege. And it says she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. What is that? Literally, the Hebrew phrase there means eyes that are looking everywhere. What does that mean? She is a centered woman. She's focused on God her husband, and her family. Now, is this just an Old Testament concept? Let's look at a couple of New Testament. How about Titus chapter 2? Paul writing to Titus in chapter 2, verse 3. Likewise, here's what you're to teach old women. Teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands. Why? So that no one will malign the Word of God. Do you mean to tell me that how women behave and their character can malign God's Word? That's what it says. How about 1 Peter chapter 1? Chapter 3, excuse me, verse 1 through 6. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come only, and we'll just add the word only. It's nothing wrong with outward adornment, but your beauty shouldn't come from outward adornment such as braided hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, or fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands. Like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. Oh, let's just stop with that. That's a good one, right? I've been working on that one with my wife. If you have a husband here today, just turn to him and say, Master. You're just laughing. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. In Proverbs 19, verse 13, a foolish son is his father's ruin, and a quarrelsome wife is like constant dripping. You have any dripping going on at your house? And her reward, go back to our text, Proverbs 31, 28. Her children rise and call her blessed, her husband also, as he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Praise. Her children, her husband, say, I am blessed. You know, I am so blessed that God gave me you as my mother. I am blessed that you gave me you to be the mother of my children as my wife. In chapter 29, verse 17, we read these words, discipline your son and he will give you peace and he will bring delight to your soul. You mothers who have done the godly thing and raised your children, and they're in the Lord, that is a delight to your soul. There's no higher honor than to raise a child that when he grows up says, I praise God for you. I praise God because you taught me real wisdom. You made me into be a godly man that I am because of you. You made me into the kind of woman I am because of you, Mom. That is our responsibility as parents. We got to go see our son a week ago. And they let you visit him from 9 to 5 in a squad bay. That's a lot of hours. How many hours is that? 9 to 5. That's a lot of hours. For 2 days. And we were a little uptight about, you know, what are you going to do sitting with your son in a room from 9 to 5? And how's he going to feel about it? And when we left on last Friday, a week ago Friday, he said this to us. He said, I thought having to sit with you guys from 9 to 5 for 2 days, man, that's going to be forever. But then he said, but it wasn't. If you had asked him a year ago at 18 or 16 or 12, would you like to spend 8 or 9 hours for 2 days straight with your parents? Gag me with a spoon. It is such a joy to have disciplined your children in the Lord and to see them develop into godly men and women. He told me about the church service that he goes to on base. He says, really not very good, Dad. He said, we have all kinds of chaplains come in, and I went to this Bible study, and they just read the first verse and the last verse, and they didn't even tell us the context. Now, that may not mean anything, but to a preacher, that means everything. He said, they didn't really tell me what the Word says. Where did you learn that, kid? From my mom. Many do great things, but you surpass them all. You're the best mom. Many women do great things, and I praise God for who you are. There in verse 29, you surpass. This may not mean something, but you got to get this. I want you to see this. The word surpass there is the same root of the word he uses in verse 10, a noble woman. Comes from the same root. You're noble, you're excellent, you surpass them all. Charm and beauty, what happens to those? They fade away. On the outside. Outward beauty, it fades. It sags. It grows. It recedes. It leaves. We all want a pretty girl, but let's go with what really lasts. She fears God. You see, you can't really be a godly woman unless you fear God. And Proverbs ends with where Proverbs begins. What's Proverbs 1:7 say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's a godly woman who fears God. That's the basis of real wisdom, of real knowledge of a good woman. So verse 31, give her the reward that she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. You see, she wants her husband to receive praise at the city gate, and because she is that kind of woman, she gets the praise at the city gate. It sort of comes around, doesn't it? She provides for her family. She brings honor to her husband in the community. She gives wise, godly instruction to her family. She passes it on, and that brings her honor. That brings her praise. The result is not only, well, look at what good kids she has. That's great. But that's not the end. Or, she has a great husband. That's nice. But women, you follow these instructions and you too will be praised and honored even at the city gates in the community. A good woman is hard to find, isn't it? Yes, she is. But don't settle for anything less. If you are a woman, don't settle for being anything less than what God has described here. If you are a girl growing into a woman, please do not settle for anything less. If you are a guy looking for a wife somewhere down the road, please do not settle for anything less. Or you will pay the price. And it is better to be miserable alone, is it not, than to be miserable with an ungodly woman? If you know any women, remind them of these instructions. And if you have found a godly woman that fits the description here,
honor her. Let her know. Look hard. Pray hard. Model it. It's never too late to become one. You're not that old. You can still become what God wants you to be. And would you as a church pray for the women of our fellowship that our women would be a good woman? So look at this slide. Here's to good women. Read it with me. Here's to good women. May we know them. May we be them. May we raise them. In Proverbs 19, verse 14, these words, houses and wealth are inherited from the parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we think of gifts that you bless us with, and the ones that last forever, eternal life, forgiveness, salvation, we praise you for those. We often thank you for the gifts like the weather and good food and good jobs, but how you have blessed so many of us is with a good girl. May we honor them. May we, the women of our church, continue to become them. May we raise our children to look for these qualities in themselves and in a future mate. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.